Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, senior analyst with the Wall Street Reporter. Joining us today is Brian Wilmot, CEO of Eagle Oil Holdings. The company trades on the bulletin board, and the ticker symbol is EGOH. And Eagle Oil Holdings is engaged in the exploration and production of oil through the development of a repeatable low geological risk, high potential project in the East Texas oil and gas region. Thanks for joining us today there, Brian.
You're welcome.
Great. Now, starting off, talk to us about the most recent oil well production enhancement project with European Oil Services.
Well, that one came to us from a contact that we had. Apparently, it's been used in some of the fields of Asia, and actually, you might see north of Iran in Turkmenistan, Kazakhstan, and some of those stands over there. In essence, it was done there by these Russian technology people, came up with a program. And it seems to work pretty well in where you have a saltwater-driven oil field, which is the same as thing as we have. What that means is the oil actually floats on a saltwater underground base. And it uses electrical pulses, and I'm not exactly clear on the detail of the procedures, but the electrical pulses, they run between at least two or more wells. And by doing so, it tends to separate the oil out of the salt water. And so when you're pumping the wells, you actually get more oil than water, which is a big benefit, especially in a field that's well-developed or have been pumping for many years, because you usually get a lot of water for your ratios are real high on the water. And so this could increase the oil production. In some cases, it might double or triple the actual flow of the oil from the same period of time or the same total barrels of fluid, meaning if we had a field that did 100 barrels of fluid a day with a 4% cut, that's only 4 barrels of oil. But if it doubled up, you'd still do 100 barrels of fluid, but you'd have 8 barrels of oil. And this is what the goal is of this project.
Great. So, yeah, it's all about efficiency. And right now the company holds about 78% working interest in about 173 wells, which are at the historic Woodbine Oldfield section. So can you bring us up to speed on some of your operations?
Well, what we've done, when we took over the field, it had been a lost stepchild out there. It had pretty well been abandoned except for maybe 3 or 4 wells that they were operating in order to hold a lease. A lot of these wells we had trouble locating. They had overgrown so much in the field. This field was actually developed by Amoco in the 50s and 60s back in there. They developed all the wells, and then they, as the flow was diminished, the natural flow from a well diminished, they started getting a lot of salt water, so they started pumping that water back down the holes, and that allowed this field to continue on, or other fields, they had to dispose of the salt water in some other method. In this case, with us, the field itself becomes a self-sufficient entity. We pump out, if we pump out the 100 barrels of fluid and we have 94 of that is salt water, we can dispose of that salt water on site in our own injection wells with our own systems, which helps rejuvenate the field underground, and it just keeps circling the water, which keeps bringing up the oil. So what we've done is enhance our injection systems. We've had to clean up a lot of the wells. There's almost 30 wells that they attribute to injection that are available to us. We don't use them all at this stage, but you clean those up. You are able to then increase your injection systems, and you can actually increase well production from 1% to 2% on your cuts. So just by having a proper disposal, other fields have to truck the salt water off, and that can cost up to $1.50 to $1.60 a barrel to dispose. So that can be an expensive attribute if you have a small field. And in our case, we don't have that. Now, what we're trying to do with us is pick out the best wells to start with, which is about, we have about 50 wells that we've targeted as being most likely to have solid production levels on it. And we recondition those wells, which is to clean out the downhole structures. Some of them, the casings have leaks or there's material in the hole. Clean those out. New tubings go in. New pumps and so forth go on the top. Then you have to improve your flow lines, which have been buried underground for, 50 years. and some of those are shot, so you have to fix those. And then the power grid itself, which we have about 20 miles of power grid on the property, you have to make sure that's functional because trees have fallen down and knocked some of that down from the past. So a lot of money is spent in infrastructure just to begin with, and we expect that is pretty well done. And then we actually condition the wells, and each well costs us about $20,000, $25,000 to redo a well. And then it's ready to go.
Great. And can you what are some of the other factors that that differentiates Eagle Oil from some of the other players in the sector?
Well, most of the situation that we have is we're on the east side of the Woodbine Field. The Woodbine Field is sort of like the underground structure is like a triangle. On the west side of the field, where they had their limits in the early days, was a deeper amount of oil because of the triangle was deepest on that side. So they had all their drillings and all their pumping was pretty much on the west side. Our particular field is towards the east side, which is referred to as the pinch zone, and it didn't get drilled as much because the oil deposit was shallower. So we really have access, I think, to a good long-term growth. The estimates that have been given to us during the studies is that we have 12 million barrels of oil in the ground in place for us to pump out. So that's a pretty good-sized deposit, and it's been pretty basically untapped in this particular zone. So we have existing wells that are mostly have been pumped for several years, and then we have areas that we haven't even drilled. So there's some. So we think there's some future growth in that side of the field.
Great. And so, what are some of the trends right now? The emerging trends, and how well positioned is Eagle Oil to capitalize on them?
Well, it is. I know oil companies receive a bad reputation all the time, but I think the trend for developing our, and this would be nationwide, our existing wells in the country, I think is really going to be pretty good. It's a lot of fields have great potential, but technology never really was placed to it. The large oil companies all moved off into new discoveries or off the coast or saltwater sea drillings and things like that, where all you ended up with was what they referred to as stripper wells, working these wells just to see what comes out. But I think with technologies like this new technology we're using really enhances the potential for a lot of these fields. And I think there's going to be a lot of growth in existing oil fields, which already have all of the environmental issues satisfied. There's not going to be a lot of trucks coming in ripping up the landscape. We actually have the benefits of the holes already there. The roads are already in. The structures, power lines and so forth are there. So I think it's going to be a real benefit to the parties that need these things done. And it should enhance the actual oil benefits to the country as well as the companies that handle them. I don't see where that's going to ever go down. Yeah.
The actual community also is enhanced.
Yeah.
And so perhaps you could walk us through your background and experience, Brian, as well as that of some of the key management team over at Eagle Oil.
Well, for me, I've actually used to, years ago, I worked for Texaco. That's where I started in the oil business, and that was a little unusual. I ended up back in Texas. But I have done more of a project orientation background. I worked on mining projects, setting up the projects and developing those, and I did some other things along that line, but I really never got into the oil field development. This was a bit new to me, so I ended up bringing in the experts in the field. We have Tech Engineering, which is a Texas outfit. They actually come to us right there. They got 30 years in the business in that field, so we use those people. We have drillers in the area that have worked these fields for 20 years, some of these guys. We use those people to do that. Our manager in the field's got, he's been out there himself for almost 30 years in that same area. He had his own wells, and we brought him on board to help develop ours. So we feel we have the capability of detecting what needs to be done, and the availability of experts in the oil business is extensive in Texas. You can pretty well hire anything you need for oil development, from engineers right to your labor force. They all have experience in these kind of rigs and this kind of drilling, because we're not really drilling the new holes, we're just cleaning up the old ones, so it's a little easier to do.
Right, well, it's kind of the same concept, you know, if you want to sell suntan lotion, you know, you don't go to Alaska.
Not often, anyway, it's true.
Great, and so what are some of the specific goals and milestones that you guys have set for the company as a management team over the course of the next year?
Well, our first one is we're working on a couple of different aspects, but the first deal was we wanted to get the field to be completely self-sufficient. So we calculated about which wells might be the quickest targets, and if we and what would be the ones that with the least amount of wells, how would it become self-sufficient? So we calculated out using the lowest possible flow patterns that we can attest to, that we know that it does, and we pick out 10 wells, and these 10 wells will actually produce a sufficient amount of oil to satisfy just the overhead, and so the field can operate on its own basis. From that, then we take and then we target another 10 wells, and those 10 wells would bring us up, say, a 20 full production. But those 10 wells then are going to give us a little extra, and they would be, we'll go back to that east side of the field we were talking about. We can develop some of the wells and maybe do some business on that side that would enhance the field to doing more production, where we might be getting 10 barrels a day from a well as opposed to, say, the average of 5. And so our program is taking these little blocks of 10 and then 10 until we get up to a level that we think is going to give us a decency production level, say 50 barrels or 50 wells doing 5 barrels a day each or 10 barrels a day each, and that gives you a pretty good cash flow in the company. At that stage, the company then can look at additional fields that may be nearby that don't have the same capabilities with the water injection systems and some of the aspects that they need for expense and so on, and we can then draw some of those fields in. There's several of them around us that have 2-3 wells each, and they're not profitable for the holder, but they could be beneficial to us because we'd have capabilities of doing things that they couldn't do. So we expect to get up to, I call it a small medium company as opposed to a small company, but it'll take us probably about 2, maybe 2.5 years to do that, but that should enhance the value of the company quite a bit, as well as the stock pricing.
Great. And so talk to us a little bit, Brian, about the company's acquisition strategy.
Well, what we're looking to do, and our strategy basically is to determine which of these fields. Now, we've targeted two of them already that we've looked at. Target a field that's got some level of production, and as long as it's in, it's got to be relatively close in a proximity for us, because we don't have a large management staff at this stage anyway. But so we've targeted a couple of fields. They have some production level at a reasonable depth. Now, a reasonable depth to us is something around 4,000 or 5,000 feet. That's really considered shallow wells, and so they're easier to maintain, and your costs are quite a bit less. So we're targeting fields like that to see if we can draw them in. We use sometimes we can keep the operator still there who's operating them now, but we then use that production to flow into our total production, which should give us a benefit of, could be 30, 40 barrels more per day on a field without us having to do a development cost on it. So by picking up these smaller fields, we just think it'll enhance our overall picture. At that stage, once you get all that, you have a better cash flow, and then your cash flow can look at bigger fields. And by that time, you should have a decent representation on Wall Street, per se, and we should be able to actually garner larger investment funds that we can go after bigger fields. So it takes a little time, but probably you're looking at 2 years of picking up the small ones to actually be able to establish with a larger field.
Makes sense. And so do you think that right now investors understand this this message and direction?
I don't think it's been well articulated. I think we're working on that. We're trying to get to, because we just started with when we took over the company. I think we just did this. We took over the other public entity in May, I think it was, or April. And it's been difficult to get all the pieces in place. But I believe within the next, I would say the next 30 days, 60 days, with the organization that we're working with now, and I think it's going to get better as we go along with this enhancement technology coming in has gotten us a lot of attention, so we're sort of forced to actually get clearer and with our presentations, and we expect to actually be able to articulate it better in the next, I would say by the next month, we should have a better concise kind of a plan that people can follow almost A to B and go down the line.
Right, and once again, joining us today is Brian Wilmont, CEO of Eagle Oil Holdings, which currently trades on the bulletin board under the ticker symbol EGOH, and is currently trading at 42 cents a share. And before we conclude, Brian, just to kind of rehash everything, what are some of the key reasons why Eagle Oil Holdings, represents a good long-term investment opportunity to potential investors?
Well, I think it's the best aspect is it's a large in Texas size. I mean, it's fairly large field in a well-proven oil area. It's got already and the largest cost element, which is drilling holes, is already there. So I think what we have is probably the greatest potential of steady growth over the next months, just adding well after well onto the program to increase the flows. I think, and with the amount of stock that's already in the market, which is very low, around 33 million shares on the outstanding, it really great. I think it has great potential for investors to see that there's going to be value increase, and down the road there's always the potential of dividends or items like that to come out. I think we have the potential that most companies of this size to start with will never see.
Well, we certainly look forward to continuing to track the company's growth and progress, as well as report on your upcoming projects. And I'd like to thank you for taking the time to join us today there, Brian, to update our investors.
My pleasure.